Okay, we're back in business. Good morning, everyone. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bidvarei.
Amen.
Anyone speak to Mr. Cohen? I haven't seen him in a few days. All right, I got to call him up. We're in the middle of Mizmachav Tess. So we went through one round of Mizmachav Tess, and we went through the Mitzudais. We went through the basic Mahalachim, all the metaphors. The Mizmar is basically discussing, there are different ideas. Discussing Matan Torah, Hashem is coming to give the Torah to the Jewish people, and we explain that's why we say this Mizmah every Shabbos and we put away the Sefer Torah, and we run through the Mitzudos, which basically took the different items mentioned, which include the waters, the Nachle Mayim, the Mayim Rabim, the mountains, the Arozim, the Arzeh Halavonim, the Yolois. And there was something else. These are all metaphors for the Umayis, the nations of the world. The nations of the world were terrified. They were frightened. They were frightened by experiencing the world tremble and shake as Hashem came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's important to remember to reflect that this Mizmar is discussing specifically the Luchos Rishonos. Because the Luchos Shniyos, there was no commotion. There were no Koilei Subrakim. The world was quiet.
No pomp and circumstance.
No smoke and mirrors. It was just a private event. Moshe went to Shemayim, and no one was there. No one saw. It was a private event. The world was oilam kimin hogoy nohog. No one would even know what was happening. This monumentous event was happening where Hashem was giving the Torah to Moshe a second time. But the first time, it was done with pomp and with ceremony. The entire world was silent and listened, observed. It was a very different type of event. And that is why here in this Mizmar we learn about all of the different events that accompany Matan Torah. We also learned yesterday that this Mizmar has 18 times as it says Hashem's name, and these 18 times correspond to the 18 blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei in order. And we're not going to do it, but you're looking at the Midrashim, it's very esoteric, it's very a lot of detail, which is a little bit more than I can handle, about how each mention of Hashem's name corresponds in order specifically to the 18 blessings in order. And Rashi, we listened to him yesterday, gave us the first two. The first time it says Elim. Elim refers to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and it says Hashem's name. That refers to Avos, the first blessing of Shemoneh Esrei. The second time it says Havu Lashem Kavod Va'oz, might. Might is associated with Gevura, and that is with reference to the second blessing of Shemoneh Esrei, Gevuros. Okay, so those are the basic. Then we also mentioned that over here it says with Koil seven times. There are seven Koilos. The number seven obviously is a number which represents nature. There are 7 days. There are 7 days in creation, and we have the number 70. There are 70 nations. There are 70 languages. There are 70 members of the Sanhedrin. The Jewish people, when they entered into Egypt, had 70 souls. The number 70 is an expansion upon the number 7. So that was another theme that we discussed. Then we began to learn the Rashi. So we went through the first principle in Rashi. Rashi, we put on this very interesting word, Havu. What does this word mean? Havu, so we learned two perushim. It means to ascribe, which means to give. But give something specific. What are you giving? Hashem, you're giving words. To give expression.
Like heavy, right?
Is a hova es ishti. Give me my wife. Hova li banim bim ayin meis anochi. But in this context, when hova means something very specific, it means to give words. And words represent your essence, expression. Expression is defines who you are. When Hashem created. Havu Godel, ascribe greatness. What? How do you ascribe greatness? Words. Words. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim vayihi adu nefesh chayil l'ruach memalula communication. The words that a person expresses defines who they are. They're the same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike, and no two people write alike. Every author has a unique style. You know, if you read, I was reading, spend some time reading, a book from Rabbi, the chief rabbi of the United Kingdom. Jonathan Sacks. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he has a style. He has a unique style. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb has, these are very famous writers. They have a style. Exactly. Because Rabbi Mordechai hit the nail on the head. That just like when it comes to prophecy, that every Navi is misnabe the signal acher, ancient name Navi misnabnin the signal echad. So today, no, we don't have prophets today, but we have writers. We have some very famous writers today. There are people who are blessed, have talent. And, you know, you pick up something and right away, oh, you can see who this is. I remember how Nochem Seltzer. Yeah, now, listen, Nochem Seltzer, you know, he's a very, very popular writer today. His writing, the vocabulary, I'm not a person to judge anyone because I don't even know how to write. I can't write in one sentence. Right.
Popular writing.
But
the more intellectual style of writing.
Correct. So Nochem Seltzer, the writing isn't all that sophisticated. The vocabulary is pretty simple. Not that I'm one to judge Chas v'Shalom, but I remember this my, how my brain opened up this awakening when I read from Nochem Seltzer a story that I've heard 10 times, that I've heard by inspirational speakers or I have read it elsewhere in magazines or books. And he told it over. He wrote it over. He just wrote it over in his language, in his words. And after reading the story, and it was a long story. It was Mary introduced me to this. Actually, this was incredible. The name of that book. Mary, what's the name of the who's the story about? I forgot his name. The name of the person. Who's the book? Incredible. Incredible one, incredible two. Yeah, what was his name?
Wallace.
So it wasn't about Wallace. It was about some other story. But I was just amazed how Hasbara.
It was so incredible.
Hasbara. I was amazed. I was amazed more by his writing. And it wasn't so sophisticated. He didn't write. He wasn't this highfalutin level of vocabulary. It was just a koyach to explain something. The ability to be masbir, to explain a principle with clarity. It's a gift. It's deceivingly simple. This sefer Arutz that I used to appear in the shir, they are deceivingly simple. You look at this sefer. You read the sefer. This, remember, Dvorkis. He wrote about 20, at least 20 volumes. So if you read the sefer, you go through one chapter, another chapter. Okay, you know, he says, you know, simple ideas. You go to the whole sefer, basically the whole, he conquers kol ha-toyro kulo, and he deceives you in making it sound like, you know, no big deal. No big deal. Try to do this yourself. Try to even write one chapter. And there's a gift. A person has a gift to take complex concepts and put them in writing in a way that allows the reader to absorb. It's a tremendous gift, and no two people in the world do it the same. There are many such types of svarim, and everyone tries very similar to do pretty much the same thing, but everyone has a different flavor, as Rav Mordechai said. When it comes to prophecy, ancient Nevi'im, Misnabim, Misignim, Echad, today there are no two people who write, who present something the same way. So how do we get to that point that I was trying to make over here? I really don't remember how I got over. I was trying to say something important over here, but I just got lost for the moment in this idea. But we'll come back to it eventually. But I don't remember what I was saying. I'm not sure what I was saying. But let's go back now to these things. So we learned over here Rashi. Rashi over here said a very beautiful principle. And Rashi said the word Havu. Well, that's now I remember. Havu. Now I got it. Havu. Havu means to give. To give what? To give words. To give words. Express yourself. Why do you need me to express Hashem's praises? There are so many other people who did it already. The answer is, the way you will do it is different. David did it. No? David did it the way he did it. The way you will do it is not the way David did it. The way someone else will do it is not the way you are going to do it. Every person does it in their unique way. Havula Hashem kavod va'oz. Ascribe to Hashem honor. What do you need me to ascribe to Hashem honor? What do you need me? Take out a Tehillim. Go to the library. There are many books that people express praise and honor to Hashem, and they did it. You know, they did it with eloquence and beauty, perfection. What do you need me to do it? No. The way they did it is the way they did it. The way you do it is different. Every person expressed themselves differently. And that's the beauty of Havula Hashem. You have your duty to give forth words of praise and Shabbat to Hashem in a way that's unique to you. Now that was the basic interpretation that we learned from the Mitzvahs. And then Rashi shook us up by telling us the word Havu means something entirely different. It means to prepare. Prepare. We'll read Rashi again. Havu Hashem on page 250. Mizmor Chavtes. Havu means he koin. It means to prepare. He koinu la Hashem. Prepare for Hashem. V'achinu loy atem b'nei eli aretz. And the children of the mighty, referring to the avos are the ele, and we are the children. Mikan, and there Rashi now goes on the tangent. Mikan sh'oimrim avos. From here we learn that we make a bracha. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, it says Hashem's name. He's already going into this medrash of Baruch Atah Hashem Ogein Avraham. U'menachem chiber. Menachem, a grammarian, he was obviously raised as Menachem, Dunash, and Rashi, the three musketeers, who are the three Bali Medakik from the Rishonim. And Menachem says what we said before, that it refers to, it means Nesina. Menachem chiber havu l'shem Nesina, Elim are the sodim. Havu l'shem kavod v'oz, mikan sh'oimim. The second is kavod v'oz, means sh'oimim gevuras. Okay, now we can continue. Kivoyit shemo. The next one, Havu la Hashem, Hashem's name appears for the third time. Kivo, the honor, Shemo, Zo, Kiddushas Hashem. This is the third blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hokel HaKadosh. Now, then Rashi goes on to finish up. Yesh b'mizmah zeh shmoyne esrei hazkoros. In this mizmah, there are 18 mentions of Hashem's name. Uchenegdon tiknu shmoyne esrei brachos. So Rashi here it's an explosive mizmah. Rashi, take Rashi at face value, that this was the starting point of the Shemoneh Esrei. Chazal took this mizmar.
It's the Gemara
and Brachos. This is the source of this is where the Shemoneh Esrei came from. They started with this mizmar as their template, and they took note that it says Hashem's name 18 times, and the Meila there must be 18 blessings. When Shmuel HaKatan later appended V'lama al-Shinim, he had to find Hashem's name. He found Hashem's name, another reference to Hashem, not Yudke Vavke, but Kel. And that was the reason why they were permitted to add a 19th blessing. Kekoil Hashem al-Hamoy. Now Rashi is going to look a little bit different than what we learn in the Mitzudas. Whereas the Mitzudas says the Maimon refers to the nations of the world, and we started with the Mayim referring to the Nachle Mayim. Rashi learns the Mayim over here refers to the Yamsuf. And we're going through the story where this Mizmor is going to be a template for the story of the history of the Jewish people. Al Hamayim, Al Yamsuf. On the Yamsuf. Yarein Mishamayim, he brings the Pasuk, and how does he know this? I don't know, for some reason he's quoting the Pasuk back in Mizmor Yudches. Yarein, Hashem roared, Mishamayim Hashem, and I guess in that context, I don't remember, we have to go back and review, in that context refers to Kriyas Yamsuf, and there's a similar expression, Hashem roared upon the Mayim, and that refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. Likewise here when it says the words, Kol Hashem al Hamoyim, it's referring to Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, the next page, we now turn to the next page, page 252, Hirim, and to this we call upon our in-house expert on Old French, Rav Michal Miller.
Expert on reading translation. The word is tormenta, which it sounds like storm or whatever. It's translated as thunders, verb.
Thunders. Thunders, okay. Tormentush.
It's not, I would put an S in.
Old French, whatever that means. Pasuk Dalet. Kol Hashem Akoyach. V'shas Matan Torah Tzimtzum. So now we're moving forward in history. This is the story of the Jewish people. Okay, we're now proceeding. We are proceeding in Jewish history. Kol Hashem Bakoyach. What does this refer to? V'shas Matan Torah Tzimtzum. Now this is a very powerful Rashi. We don't even realize to what degree. I always like to talk about the Ramchal. That the Ramchal, we don't even begin to realize how influenced we are by the Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, his works have shaped our minds regarding Jewish thought, our hashkafa. What is the purpose of this world? Why did God create man? How do we deal with tzaddik on a practical level? How do we deal with tzaddik v'ra'le rosh v'toivle? How do we deal with these things? So, a major chunk of what we believe, of the emuna, was expressed, formulated in words by the Ramchal. And the truth is, it's not only the Ramchal. Rashi. I mean, Rashi is you know, the acronym of Rashi, besides the Shudishal Mikra of Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, but Klal Yisrael likes to also take that acronym and Darshan, Rabbon Shel Yisrael, the teacher of the Jewish people. And there are Rashis like this, which we don't realize has entered the bloodstream and changed our DNA. Rashi's perush on Chumash for sure. I mean, it's really remarkable. To be a good Jew, learn Chumash Rashi. Chumash Rashi. You know, you discussed it, we had a conversation with someone yesterday after Shia. What do you do to be a Yoresh Shemayim? I mean, what do you do? Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach. So what do? We discussed yesterday to go teach material to children. So we discussed the whole basic shir, you sum up the whole shir in a few words, is if you have a Rebbe who's a Yoresh Shemayim, he can teach children anything. Anything. Even things that you wouldn't believe. If the Rebbe is a Yoresh Shemayim, it's just miraculous. It has a world to itself. That's been the tradition in the Jewish people for ages. How do you get Yoresh Shemayim? What's the technique? What do you do? I mean, I don't know what to do. You learn Daf Gemara? Really? Do we see people learning a Daf Gemara that gives them Yoresh Shemayim? A little bit. So there is a Yisoid. That is Chumash Rashi. And there's no explanation for this. There's absolutely no explanation to explain how this works. This does not work with the scientific method. But if a person wants Yoresh Shemayim, there's a technique, and it works. Try it. If it doesn't work, get a refund. Learn Chumash Rashi. How much time does the average person spend learning Chumash Rashi? Unfortunately, some people never look at Rashi. After they finish high school, they never open up a Chumash Rashi the whole life. Chas v'shalom. Chumash Rashi is just nothing sophisticated. I'm not talking about over here esoteric, all these fancy stuff, just basic, read the words, review it again and again and again. You spend an hour to a week on the Chumash Rashi. You don't even begin to realize what's in there. The words of Rashi, the things that he says, the way he says it, how it just somehow, Rashi knew how the brain works, and just somehow those words that Rashi says presents the fundamental principles of Judaism. Every Yesoid in Yadus, every single Yesoid in Yadus is in Chumash Rashi. Chamisha Chumash Rashi, it's all there. And you would never even imagine. And a person that's thoroughly seeped in Chumash Rashi, when he has dilemmas in life, you don't even realize that if you're heavily steeped in Chumash Rashi, in your mind, a Rashi that you learned is triggering in your mind subconsciously a thought for you to make the right decision in what to do in a dilemma you have in life. That's the koyach, and this is not my work. This is the mesora. People are challenged with emuna questions. They're very upset. They have emuna problems with emuna. The answer always given is if you have a problem with emuna, learn Chumash Rashi. It's the antidote to all your complaints against God. You have a complaint. You have problems with life. Before you do anything that's extreme, first learn Chumash Rashi. Just spend an hour a week learning Chumash Rashi. There's something amazing about it that really affects you. It's absolutely true, and anyone that says otherwise will fight him out. Here, now, even though Rashi is known, his legacy is really Chumash Rashi, but the truth is, Rashi's words are sacred throughout the entire Tanakh. Now, you'll tell me that there are certain parts of Tanakh where the words are suspect. Some will claim that Rashi didn't write it.
Yeah.
There are definitely certain issues.
Pseudo-Rashi,
or a Talmud wrote it. Listen, I don't know. But I don't know what to say. But generally, we assume, until otherwise proven, otherwise, we assume that every word is Rashi. This Rashi is a Rashi that says quite a bit. This Rashi is a type of Rashi which really talks about fundamentals. And he says, Kol Hashem, it's interesting, because not everyone agrees with Rashi, but even the Farshim agree with it. For some, they still agree with Rashi. So this Rashi, when I read this Rashi, it really shook me up a little. Even if it's nothing very, very big over here. But it's teaching you a fundamental principle in religion, in Judaism, that everyone has to deal with. Hashem is infinite. The word infinite does not do Hashem justice, because he's infinite beyond infinite. What is the name? Mo enosh ki siskerenu. How then do we have a relationship? How then do we come to shul and daven to Hashem? How do we have a relationship? So Rashi here says, B'kol Hashem b'koyach. We say this in the daven all the time. B'shas matan Torah, simsein es koyloi. At the time of matan Torah, Hashem was simsein es koylo lefi koychon shel Yisrael. Hashem limited. Simsein is a very hard word to translate. We make believe we know what it means. We say simsein means to confine, to limit, to shrink, sure, to adapt. Okay, but the truth is, all of those words don't really do it justice. Doesn't do it justice. Simsein, okay, Hashem limits. He limits his infinite nature, es koyle lufi, to relate according to what man can handle.
He customizes.
Modulates. That's a good. That's a good one. Okay, Mordechai, very good. Modulates his presence. His who he is, his presentation to man. Lefi, corresponding to what man can handle. And that doesn't just mean one size fits all. Hashem customizes himself to every single person. That's a very important basic principle. Rabbi Lazer, good morning. I was worried about you. You're the best Talmud here. You never ever miss a shir, and you relate to that. It's, well, where's your blazer?
He has the best
connection problem.
Connection problem?
So that Wi-Fi was slow.
I have a connection problem every second. No, we should really
he
use
has the best call.
We should really, we should really use this screen. We can turn on, everyone can see who's in the shir. You try that one day. If I have the Kabbalah, take this screen over here, turn it on, and everyone can see each other. But in any event, he called
your rod,
Hashem came down. But Hashem didn't come down entirely. Hashem presented himself coming down. They sing very good. When Moshe came up, Moshe brought everything about himself up. But when Hashem came down, Hashem didn't come down entirely, because Hashem is beyond infinite. Hashem was mitzamsim, but man is not mitzamsim. When man presents himself to Hashem, man gives Hashem all he got. That's a very, it's a fundamental difference between man and Hashem. Man is created in the Tzelem Elohim, but it's not exactly the same. Hashem has the koyach of Tzimtzum. Man doesn't have Tzimtzum. Man, when man relates to Hashem, you give it all you got. There's no Tzimtzum, but when man appears before Hashem, Hashem knows everything. Hashem sees through man, he sees through and through every molecule of man. There is nothing man can hide from Hashem. Every thought, every action, every movement, Hashem is aware of. Man cannot be mitzamtzein himself before Hashem.
I wasn't saying that.
Right. But Hashem is mitzamtzein. Hashem does not present his entire essence. Hashem presents a limited version based upon what man can handle. And what's important is, to each person, Hashem presents himself differently. Hashem is mitzamsim himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, according to what Moshe can handle. And Hashem is mitzamsim himself to a regular person walking in the street today, will see what he can handle. So this is what Rashi.
But Cole, also there's a din in Shul when the Shri Yatsiba says we should answer the call on the same level, not higher or lower, you know, on the same level.
Cold. That's a halakhic principle.
Halakhic, yeah.
Okay, that's a halakhic principle. Okay, right. But this Rashi,
so here it's similar. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking at the level that Moshe Rabbeinu was called, that he can hear. He could stop himself, so Moshe Rabbeinu could hear his call.
Okay, correct.
Same level.
Menachem, welcome. I haven't seen you in a few days. Good to see you. Kol Hashem HaKoyach B'Shas Ma'atayu Simsim Es Kol Olufi Koychon Shel Yisrael. This is an incredible Rashi. And that's the koyach. What is koyach? Koyach is not, is there a gibor? Hakoyvesh es yitzra. True givura is not to give you a knockout punch. Givura is to hold back. And look at Rashi zoom over here. The koyach of Hashem is this koyach atzimtzum. Again, I told you, this Rashi is a yisoid. When you soid in Yadus, the koyach of Hashem is the koyach of Tzimtzum. B'shas Matan Torah, Tzimtzum as a koyach lufi koychon shel Yisrael, l'shnemar v'elokim yanenu v'koyl. What does that mean, v'koyl? Hashem answered Moshe, v'koyl. Who's koyl? He answered you, v'koyl b'koyloi shel Moshe. Now, I don't really even know what this means exactly. Rashi is saying something very, very deep. Hashem answered Lefi, the coil of Moshe. Does it mean literally the voice? We always like to talk about this. Is the GPS. Whose voice? Who, when Moshe appeared, everyone, this, we always mention the measure, when Moshe spoke to Moshe, the burning bush. In whose voice did Hashem speak to Moshe?
Amram.
That's what it says in the Medrash. Amram. When Hashem said, "Shal neolecha miyal raglecha ki amokim asher ato emet ad mas kodesh," whose voice was that? Amram. That was the Hashem took on the voice of Amram. Now, when it says in this week's parasha, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe, Rabbeinu Halmi, Koy Samru Levnei Yisrael, Omor Lohem, Yivarechacha," whose voice? Does that medrash? The medrash only says when Hashem spoke to Moshe at the burning bush. Did Hashem speak to Moshe in the voice of Amram? Does that mean that when Hashem spoke to Moshe throughout the entire Chamishe Chumshe Torah, it was always the voice of Amram? Doesn't say anywhere. Doesn't say. We have no idea. We have no, what does it mean? So in the here we have another Chazal, V'elokim by Har Sinai, this is Har Sinai, Ya'nenu, V'elokim Ya'nenu V'kol, Hashem answered you with a voice. Whose voice? The Koyloi Shel Moshe. The Jewish people, I'm not sure I'm saying what I'm saying is correct. The Jewish people had a conversation with Hashem. They spoke to Hashem. There was some conversation. What was the conversation? I don't know. Obviously, they said Nasa v'Nishma. They said to Hashem, Daber Ata v'al Yishma Elokim, Hashem should not speak to us. There was some type of communication. And it says that when Hashem responded to the Jewish people, Hashem responded in a voice. And whose voice were they hearing? A voice that they can relate to.
That's really a second idea, actually, okay, which is okay. But Rashi is actually bringing the proof that, you know, that those oracles in Samtse Miskolo, Rufi Koichon Shel Yisrael, Shemema, he brings that passage, they'll give you another to call it Shel Moshe. It means the Koya.
Because what was the highest level that the Jews were able to relate to? Moshe. Moshe was their representative. So Moshe was something they could handle.
Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him on his level.
No, he spoke to Jewish people. Yeah, he's going to Jewish people.
And he is the representative, like you're saying, of Klal Yisrael.
But Hashem speaks to the Jewish people.
On his level.
No, but that... The koyach is that Hashem is mitzamtzem himself.
Right.
And so
his kol is mitzamtzem.
The kol is an example. Rashi is giving a very profound example. When Hashem spoke to the Jewish people, Hashem spoke to them, and Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokeacha. Question, whose voice? Anochi...
That's not what Rashi is saying, though.
I think I think that's what Rashi is saying.
No, Rashi is bringing a proof, that's what I'm saying.
What's the proof? V'elokim ya'nenu v'kol.
Right,
what does that pasuk refer to?
Well, he says Shedema. In other words, Shedema means he's bringing a proof from a pasuk, right? That it says, V'shas ma'an Torah, tzintzei miskolo, v'fi kot moche Yisrael. How do we know that? Where do we know that from? Oh, Shedema, v'elokim ya'nenu v'kol.
Okay, stop right there. What is that pasuk referring to? What is the Shushul Mikra? If I'm not mistaken, the pasuk means when Hashem said, Anochi. What is he saying? What is Hashem saying? Anochi Hashem Elokecha.
He's speaking on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisrael.
What do you mean the level? Hashem said to Klal, at least your general question, which I don't know the answer to.
It's not with thunder and lightning, you know, it's so that you can hear it.
So let me ask you a general question. When Hashem said the words to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in whose voice? Mayor Appledorf? Whose voice?
Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice.
Wait. Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice?
He appeared in different ways. He appeared as a warrior.
That's how he looked.
He appeared as a Zokeh. At this particular time on Torah, he appeared as a sage.
Did you ever play with your GPS? Do you have your GPS settings and Waze? Do you play with the settings? There are a lot of voices. They have a male voice. They have a female voice. You know, the Haredim, no, don't play. Don't have a GPS, a female voice, the GPS. And then you can have a British accent. You can have an Irish accent.
Yiddish
accent. You can download for free actors, famous actors. I remember my father's going to live off. I downloaded Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was telling him, turn left, turn right. My father could not stop laughing. We're driving in the car and we have Bill Clinton telling you to go right, left, this, that. And then you go in the car, so you have this Hasid, you can do it yourself, they have a script. There's a script. There's a script. And they tell you, they give you like 100 things to say. And then when you go driving, you can hear yourself talking. And then you put in your wife's thing and she'll go crazy. Or your wife will put it into your phone. Okay, so, and people, they have these very funny, hear the people, these comedians. Comedians. When they tell you to go make a laugh, they tell you they need these hilarious things. This is, so, Greg, the question is, when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, whose voice? Hashem. What's Hashem's voice? Do we know what Hashem's voice is? This Rashi is telling us that if Hashem would use his voice, which we don't even know what that means, we wouldn't survive a second. Because Hashem is beyond infinite. So Hashem was mitzantzein himself to present himself to the Jewish people in a form that we can relate to. Who could the Jewish people relate to? Who guided them? Who nurtured them all this time? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe came, he said, Pokoi Pokadati. Moshe gathered them every Shabbos. He learned with them. So now, when it was Matan Torah, when it was the Zman of Matan Torah, whose voice did Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Okay, so Rashi over here says, V'lekim Yanenu V'kol, Moshe Rabbeinu's voice. When they heard Hashem Anochi Hashem, the same way when Moshe Rabbeinu, we heard when Hashem said to him, Shalom Le'olecha Mi'al Raglecha, Ki Amok Oim Hashato Oim Eitsham, Oim Eitsham, Admas Kodesh, Moshe heard that in the voice of Amram, his father Amram. So too, when Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai and they heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in whose voice? The voice of Moshe. Mordechai, do you accept this?
No.
No, how could that be? How would they know it was Hashem speaking?
That's right.
Because they knew. They knew. No. The same way Moshe knew that Hashem, the same way that he Moshe knew that it was Hashem speaking to him and it was not Amram, his father. It was not Amram. When you're in the car and the GPS says turn left, you know that the person, it's not a real person talking, it's a machine talking to you, but you're entertained. You're entertained because the instructions are in the voice of someone that you're familiar with. So too, when Moshe heard Hashem say to him, take off your shoes, he knew that it was Hashem speaking to him, but Moshe was not overwhelmed because Hashem was delicate and spoke to him in the voice of Amram. Because Hashem was mitzantzein himself, and Hashem spoke to Moshe only in a way, in a fashion Moshe could handle. And what was Moshe able to handle at that moment in time? The voice of Amram. Likewise, at Har Sinai, when Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, Hashem did not want to overwhelm Klal Yisrael. Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael in a way that they can deal with, they can handle. And what could they handle? They could handle the voice of Moshe. Moshe was in their mind the model, the paradigm of a teacher, pedagogue. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person that can transmit to them the words of Hashem. So Hashem spoke to them in Moshe's voice.
But wouldn't they misinterpret and say that Moshe gave
So the same thing, when you're going in the car and someone programs the car that the voice of the car is Donald Trump. Donald Trump will sit down and will give instructions. You can download it. I'm sure you download it, gives instructions. They put it into Waze. And then you drive. And you hear Donald Trump saying, turn left, turn right, you've reached your destination. Do you think Donald Trump is talking to you? You know that he's not talking to you. You know that it's a machine talking. But there's a certain familiarity with the voice. So Klal Yisrael was absolutely certain.
Moshe spoke to Bnei Israel. Moshe spoke or Aaron spoke?
Well, both. It's not. It's.
I can say both spoke.
It's not. Sometimes Moshe spoke. Sometimes Aaron spoke.
Aaron spoke.
May I say something?
Yes.
I couldn't come to this because I'm testing to this day. It's my
So we'll learn the Zeicha Nishmas. We'll learn the Zeicha Lulimish Nishmas of Kalman's Yom Tov Ben
Yosef.
Ben Yosef. Lealias Nishmasai. It's say where I lost it one more time.
Yosef, that's my father's name. Ben, that's my grandfather. Okay, so I would like to mention something here. That my feeling is, he doesn't talk of the voice of Moshe, but the height of the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he says before, Lefi Kud, Lefi Kohan to Israel, the strength of the voice, Hashem can speak so loud that it can kill you. As well, Lefi Kohan to Israel. So each one speaks differently. Some person speaks low, some speak loud. So What was the height of the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The level of Kolo Shel Moshe.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Not the point of his voice. Because later exactly on, Israel said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, do us a favor. We don't want to hear Hashem. Al yidaber eleinu Elohim ben Hamun. Daber ata imanu ben Nishma. So it means they want to hear the voice, not only the level of the voice of Moshe, but the voice of Moshe, the actual voice. The Temeshim in Israel had requested later. But when Hashem spoke to Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, it was probably very, very, not the very light, but the call of Hashem. It was very loud, and then he reduced himself to Tzimtzem. Lefi Kocham Shel Israel, the level of the voice, not the.
Okay, so let me review. Let me just make sure I'm getting this right. This is where Mordechai is saying also. You're saying something which I very respect. If I'm going to repeat what you said in my words, just to see if I'm saying it correctly, and if this is what you're saying, I very respectfully disagree. You're saying over here is that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael with Hashem's voice, whatever that is. Right?
Sorry.
And then Klal Yisrael said to Moshe, no. This is too much. So therefore, you be the shaliach, you be the messenger, the intermediary between you and Hashem. You go between us. Daber ata v'nishma v'al yidaber Elokim imanu pen
namos. Spoken on a voice level that Moshe Rabbeinu could fathom and understand as a human being.
But Rav Kalman is saying that when it says Moshe, it means Moshe b'chvoido v'atzmai. Hashem, we don't want to hear your voice. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. Hashem, stand down.
It's not talking about whose voice it was. That's a separate
thing. No, Adarab, it shows that later it was Moshe. But before it was not Moshe.
Level, he keeps saying that. That's exactly
you're
what
saying
he
that at the first
he's talking about the
Moshe
level. That's why it's a positive proof. Shadema.
My understanding is that until this, we're not discussing what happened later, where Klal Yisrael said Adka. I thought we're discussing the first two dibros. The first two dibros, Hashem did not want to. Hashem did not want to overwhelm them by speaking in a magnificent voice. So instead, Hashem was mitzamtzein himself according to what the Jewish people were able to handle. And what were they able to handle? Hashem limited himself and he spoke to them as if he was a human being, so to speak, in the voice, in the actual voice of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where Rav Kalman and I'm saying, you say over here is that Hashem originally started off speaking to them in his voice, and then they said, no, this is not going to work. Hashem's not going to talk to us anymore because we're going to die. Instead, Moshe, you be the intermediary, and the koilo shel Moshe means mamish Moshe in the guf. Is that what you're trying to say? No?
Yeah.
I've come, that's what you're trying to say?
This was
So you don't agree with extension to say that the Moshe Rabbeinu is not necessary to say that it's extra step. That's pushing the step further. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. But that's not what the Rashi is saying there. He's saying that he spoke to him at the level, at a human level, which he could understand.
That was the beginning. And later on, they called Moshe Moshe Mamash. After the Israel requested.
Okay.
You know, you can touch the words with Kolos Moshe. It's like you say, Kolos Moshe. You can touch it like that.
I think Baruch Hashem, we've touched upon all the issues. We're going to go further. Let's now go to page 254. Yashar koyach to everyone here. We brought out some very nice ideas. Yes.
Another question. The Pasuk says, if Rasta and Yom HaBakeh was fine for Negba, then you see you go without limit. What you're saying right now is that it's very great, and I agree, that there's Simpson. But then again, sometimes, you go all out.
It's not...
Well, for Rasta means...
Break forth. Well, we have to see the context of that pasuk. Who is it going on? Is it going on the Jewish people that they will be blessed? Uforatzta, or is it going on Hashem? Hashem is going to overwhelm you. Then we always talk about this topic. Does Hashem give a person a nisoyon that he cannot handle? Does Hashem set up a person to fail? Is there such a principle in this world? In Jewish education...
Man sets up himself.
What?
Man sets up himself.
In Jewish education, the first rule of teaching a teacher, in training any educator is never ever set up a student to fail. You have to know what they're capable of, have a high bar, but a bar that's realistic. Don't ever set up a person to fail. Now here's the question. Does Hashem set up people to fail? Will Hashem bring a person into this world, into a situation where there is no way in the world he can survive? And it will be a guarantee that he will be overwhelmed and he will do averos, go off the derech, and do things because there's just no way. And Hashem will put him into such a situation. Okay, that's a very broad statement that I made. Is there such a thing? So the Velt, go out into the street, and you'll talk to the average, and we spoke this about many times, they're going to tell you, no, we have a Messiah. We have a Messiah in Klal Yisrael that Hashem never gives a person a test that he's not able to deal with. If a person feels overwhelmed, he should know, don't be overwhelmed. If Hashem gave you this test, it's because Hashem knows that you can handle it. This is what I've been taught. We've all heard this, and this is very powerful. Then I also told you that there was one time, one year, at this time of the year actually, it was after Shavuos, Rabbi Reisman Shlito, he used to have a sugyus of Daf Yomi, and then he was the last speaker. He was the last speaker of the season. Rabbi Reisman would come. There were only about 20 people who came to the share. And Rabbi Reisman, this was his topic. And he said, this is what the Velt says. And he basically said, I respectfully disagree. I respectfully disagree. And he went on to prove it. And if I'm not mistaken, his yisoid is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. For us to say that Hashem can only give a person a yisoid that he can handle, you're limiting Hashem. Man has no right to be mitzamtzem Hashem. Hashem can be mitzamtzem himself. For a man to say, Hashem, you can't do it. You can't do this. Because if you're going to do this, I'm going to be overwhelmed. There were many from Torah Jews in the Holocaust, very religious Jews, after the Holocaust, went off the derech. They couldn't handle it. Does anyone have a complaint against them? Chas v'shalom. No one has any complaint against anyone who went through the horrors of the Holocaust. How could it be? Why, how come no one has a complaint against them? Because if we went through, we wouldn't survive a day. So that, what are we in essence saying? That Hashem put them in a situation they couldn't handle. I'm saying very broad strokes over here. To go say that Hashem, you can't do it. You can't do it. What do you mean you can't? You're giving Hashem orders? You're telling Hashem what he can do, what he cannot do?
We're saying he himself doesn't want to do it.
Okay, so you have to.
That's the Ramchal himself. He says, okay. So
it's a matter of semantics.
Put them on this world in order to. It's a matter.
So it's you're correct. It's a matter of semantics. It's a matter of how you express it. I think what Rabbi Reis was trying to say is, Hashem is infinite. Don't play God. Don't play God. To walk around the street and just sing, it's like a cliche. Hashem can give you a nisoyon that you can't handle. There's truth to that. There's a truth. But don't oversimplify it. Because when you oversimplify it, what you're basically saying is, Hashem, you're limited. And that can translate, that attitude of what Hashem can do, what Hashem cannot do, that's apikorsis. We read in the Haftorah and on every time, Kiloi machshevoy seichem machshevoy sai, v'lo darkechem dirochoy. we don't understand. Yeah, we have to, at the end of the day, we have to step back and acknowledge Hashem is in a different league. Ramchal, we have Rashi's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to do chesed. Hashem is toiv. Hashem doesn't overwhelm us. Olam chesed yibaneh. But don't oversimplify it. Because when you oversimplify it, you're going to find yourself in a bad neighborhood. There's a balance. His basic shiur was saying, if that's right.
There are exceptions, a certain
it's a matter of
even
semantics.
The Kali Yisrael would be less off, we're like overwhelmed, so we have the case of Eov, so they may be, you know, where people are beyond.
Don't oversimplify. We learn in the afternoon, Rashi, Rashi and Unkelus. If you want to ask, what is the most fundamental difference between Rashi and Unkelus? And the answer is, Rashi looks at Hashem, presents Hashem, and this seeps into us as almost kaviyachal Hashem is our buddy. He's our friend. Atayeli mochem began Eden. V'loy mizdazeya. We learned the parashas of Bichul Kosai. V'hisalachti b'soichachem. I'll take you into Gan Eden, and I'll walk around in Gan Eden together with you as one of your buddies, and you won't be afraid of me. So Rashi says, I didn't make this up. Rashi says, V'hisalachti b'soichachem. Atayli mochem b'Gan Eden v'loy mizdazeya mineni. And Rashi does that all the time. Unkelus goes out of his mind when he sees something like this. Every time it says the word Hashem's name in the Torah, Unkelus says, Kodom Hashem. He always injects into the pasuk the word Kodom. Before, he always creates a barrier in many different ways. He creates, don't you, earthling, think for one second that you have any connection, any closeness to Hashem. Hashem is Hashem, and you are a nothing. You're a kakarosh, not even a kakarosh in this world. Kodom Hashem. Uncle never even says Hashem. He always injects extra words to express a major barrier and separation before the awesomeness of Hashem. Rashi never. Rashi brings Hashem into your life. In that pasuk, v'salachti b'soichachem, the Targum has a whole different translation. What it means, v'salachti b'soichachem, he doesn't go near what Rashi says.
Yeah.
I don't know Ramban. I'm not a Ramban person, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Ramban is a very hard safe.
Yeah, instead of saying Hashem did X, Y, or Z, he says Hashem manifested himself some roundabout, indirect. That's how he usually frames explanations.
Different strokes for different folks. Nothing is black and white. The different ayin panim l'Torah elu ve'elu diri Elokim chayim. Let's do another Rashi. Pasuk Hey. This Rashi, but at least walk away from this Rashi. This Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, it leaps off the page. This is an explosive Rashi. Baruch Hashem, the Elohim here is very lebedik, has brought out a lot of different ideas, and everyone agrees that this Rashi is presenting over here basic fundamental principles in Yahus. The koyach of tzimtzum, of matan Torah, b'shas matan Torah, tzimtzum es koylon lufi koychon shel Yisrael. These words speak volumes about Yadus. Volumes about Yadus. And certainly these words are subject to a lot of interpretation. Exactly how you wanted to explain exactly where does this come from? Rashi is saying this on his own as Rashi is taking this from a Chazal. Rashi usually doesn't say anything on his own. Rashi usually is based. Rashi, you know, he is his parish. Rashi usually has something to back him up. Where did Rashi get this from? Do a search. Which medrash? Which chazal? A Bavli, Yerushalmi, a medrash? Medrash halacha? Where did he get this from? Rashi always says it over in his language, in his words. And Rashi is injecting his perish. Everyone will agree that this Rashi is presenting basic principles in Yadus of how we relate to Hashem. Now, next Rashi. Kol Hashem Shor Arozim, Hashem's voice, it shatters the Arozim. So here, Rashi is lining himself up with the one who took everything from him, who plagiarized him, the Metzudas David. Rashi over here is saying, we learned him that over here, he's shifting now to the Umois Ha'olam. He's now going down that path. Because until now, if you remember, Rashi was different than the Mitzvahs. Rashi says that the Mayim refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. And then step number two is Matan Torah. Right? Mitzvah is went with the Mahalech, that the Mayim only dealing with the only dealing here with Matan Torah. The whole thing from beginning to end is Matan Torah, and the Mayim are the Mayim is the Nachale Mayim. It's a low level nation. Third world countries. And then we went to the Mayim Rabim. And then we go to the Arozim. We're going higher and higher of the more sophisticated, wealthy nations of the world. And now we come, so Rashi over here for the very, and Rashi did it. Rashi said, we went to Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, Kol Hashem Shor Arozim, Malachei Humos, the kings of the nations, Kinyan Shenemar. Now we're doing the Umos Olam, Vayare Mashem Bekol Godol. Who are we referring to? So it's very good. Rashi is very good shmak. The Pelishtim, we're going through history. Yeah. Rashi is presenting a timeline. History. Jewish history is being presented in this mizmah. The Mayim Ram over here, the Kol Gadol over here is Al Pelishtim. Ki Mikol Hashem, from the sound of Hashem, Yechas Ashur. Ashur was terrified. Uvishas Matan Torah. Oh, so he's going over here, he's still referring to Matan Torah, and referring over here to the nations, they were terrified. It was Shas Matan Torah, Ki Mi Kol Basar. This is what the Jewish people said. Who saw the voice of Hashem and survived? Vayechi, Ata Yu Shamata Vichayisa. The Jewish people, they merited to see Hashem and live. The Umayis Olam Shoyimim Umayisim. This is a Tanchum you have here. I never heard this Tanchuma. This is all new to me.
Oh, yeah.
He quotes the Tanchuma, Tumo. Tanchuma is a Likud. Isn't the Tanchuma a Likud? Isn't the Tanchuma a Likud? Is Tanchuma original? It's original, it's original Medrash?
One of the oldest.
Yeah, okay, sorry, I didn't know. I thought Tanchuma...
Only quotes from the, you know,
Medrash Rabbah.
The classical Midrash, the oldest.
So this says in the Tanchuma, and this is something I never heard before. It's all new to me. Is that every child heard that in Matan, when Hashem said Nochi Hashem Elokecha, everyone died. It was a graveyard. It was one big graveyard. And then what happened? Hashem sent down the Tal of Tchias HaMeisim, Mechaye HaMeisim. Right, they all came back alive.
Yeah.
And then Hashem said Lo Yelecha, go back into your graves, back into the grave. And then Tchias HaMeisim, Nochamo.
So that's a different version.
And then Klal Yisrael says, no more. Who says they'll be so lucky the third time around? Right? No more. Did you ever hear about the Umos Olam? Did they ever tell you in kindergarten what happened to the Umos Olam? We never heard this. Well, they go learn Tehillim. Look at the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma here says... What?
Why would they hear?
Chazal said that when B'Shas Matan Torah, the whole world was listening.
Like
Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdolos, on the ultimate infinite number of Elif Alfei Havdolos, beyond count. It's like go back into the 60s, before my time. What I've read is when they had on television I Love Lucy, there was a sakon in the country that the pipes would burst because no one flushed the toilets. Everyone was glued in front of the television from 7:30 to 8 o'clock watching all the department stores shut down because everyone had to be home at home in front of the television to watch I Love Lucy.
Was it 9 o'clock?
No, okay, I'm sorry. 9 o'clock. Okay? Read up, Google it. What it used to be, the water pressure. Can you imagine they had the water pressure in the toilet, in the pipe, because no one flushed the toilet during that time. Because the whole country was glued to their television, watching. So that's a good mashal. L'havdil elef av mashas matan Torah, the whole world was listening. No one was going to the Beis HaKisa at that time. The birds, the animals didn't make a sound. The whole world was listening to Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The whole world. And it says here in this time that when the Ummah Yisraelim heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they died. And there was no Tchiyas HaMeisim for them. But for us, there was. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Obviously, I mean, they're going today.
Yeah.
Going today. Where do they come from?
It says Rachav also. Rachav heard and, you know,
he
trembled
heard,
and everything. But
they
didn't die.
Well, it says over here they died. I didn't make this up.
Because nature was closed up.
I don't know what this means. The umay, am I making this up? The umay sa'olam shaymim umesim. Take it literally. They died. They heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem ulakecha. They died, and that's it. The end. Really? Go in the street today. I mean, there are only 8 billion of them out there, and there's only 15 million of us. What do you mean they all died? They seem to be all over the place. Okay, obviously this has to be a medrash. It's a medrash! A medrash is a medrash!
You learn from here that after Tchias HaMeisim, when you come up, you're reset. There's no, you know, you're back where you were. The whole death was, you know.
I was learning Parashas Bamidbar. Parashas, this is the topic which I really don't like, but it was in the book. I know how to read it. It said the Makar for Gilgul Neshama is last week's parashas Bamidbar, Ligulgulaysam. And then it went on the whole topic. Let's say a person came into this world 20 times. So when time of Tchias HaMeisim, which body do you come back as? Who are your parents? So the Rabbi Zichman, he presents all of the opinions. He quotes the you know what he asked this kasha? The Beis Yosef asked this kasha to the Magid. When he went to sleep, the Beis Yosef, he had a malach that taught him Torah. So he asked the Malach, at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, all the people that were Gilguls, so which body did they come back in? So the Malach said, the first body. You come back in your first body. Then he quotes another opinion that says, no such thing. You come back in the last body. The best answer, I really like this answer. No, then another answer, all of them. That's practical. You come back wherever a person splinters into many people. I don't know. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking. But the best thing that I really like, this really appealed to me the most, is in every time you come back to this world, you excel in a certain area. So one Gilgul, you're a cipher. You use your hands very well. Another Gilgul, you're an orator. You use your mouth. Another Gilgul, you're a runner, you're a sprinter. I don't know, you run around. You're an Askim, you run around. Another time you use your hands. Hashem takes the best.
You know what you're saying?
The best of all your, and he makes a challenge. He takes your legs from this Gilgul, the head from this Gilgul, the eyes from this Gilgul, your eyes looked at things you're not proud of. But in another Gilgul, you had very good eyes. So you take the eyes from that Gilgul, the legs from this Gilgul. Do I know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right? Cybernetics of artificial intelligence.
Don't say this over in public.
That you learn to get the best from all the...
Right. But listen, after everything is said and done, when you're dealing with this type of stuff, we don't know what we're talking about.
Well,
they say
the Gilgul, the purpose is to be misakin something.
We don't know what this is. This
no, but
yeah.
That's what they say. So, you
that's
know, you
misakin,
misakin, misakin.
Tikkun.
It seems logical to be the final thing after you misakin everything.
Okay.
You know,
so. Different opinions?
Yeah, that's
so here we have, listen, we don't know what this means over here, Mayor, this is over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It says over here, Ki mi kol basa vayechi ata shamata v'chayisa v'umas oylam shamim umesim. They went and they jumped around like an eagle. Rashi learns that the mountains and the cedars. Now maybe perhaps you can say that the Rashi is referring to what he said before. These are metaphors. Nations. The nations of the world got word that there's going to be a monumental event. They bought tickets. At Wells Fargo. Did that event happen yet? Did that event, you know anything about this event? in Lakewood? There's an event happening in Lakewood?
They changed the venue
to Wells Fargo. Did it happen yet? I think it happened already. Did it? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not following. Okay, they heard there's going to be a big event. A big event. So it says over here that the Arozim and the mountains came. You know what it does it mean, Mamish, that Hashem took mountains? Mountains were lifted and they traveled? It's hard for us to relate to that. Does it mean that cedar trees, they were uprooted and they traveled? I mean, it's very hard. Or maybe what Rashi says is it means that these are metaphors for the nations of the world, countries. China wanted to hear, what does it say by Matan Torah? They picked themselves up, the whole country. You know, we'll have them by the Olympics. Okay, when it comes time, every 2 years, the Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics, they prepare for this for decades. They build magnificent stadiums, arenas, hotels to accommodate nations, mamish nations. They come all over the world. So when it says the Arozim, the leaders, the powerful people, they come with an entourage, they come with security, they come, and it says they were dancing. Can you imagine the planes and military? I was watching some videos. They have these very big events. I never knew what these things are. We live in a new world now. Now you learn all these things. The World Economic Forum. They had this big event in Switzerland? Davos. Where's Davos?
Davos. Switzerland.
Davos. So they showed, I was watching a clip. So who comes there? The wealthiest people, the most powerful people in the world. It's run by this, they own $15 trillion of investments all over the world. The people who run this, can you imagine what that means? $15 trillion of events, what's the name of the company? The people who run it?
BlackRock?
$15 trillion of investments all over the world. Unreal how much money. So the people come from all over the world, so they were showing the security. They were showing, not just that, they were showing the security arriving. Military equipment. You have to protect these people. These people are very wealthy. They're very important people. They're very wealthy people. And it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So could you imagine this is dealing over here with money? Money. Money is the root of all evil. Easy for me to say, right? And you're dealing with Matan Torah? And the whole wide world is coming to Matan Torah. Could you imagine the logistics of getting everyone there, people coming there? And that's exactly what it says. It says Vayar Kidein. They were dancing. There was incredible uprooting. People had to pick, countries had to go and mobilize their citizens, build makeshift, or they can do it. China, you know, China, they can build. During the pandemic, China, they set up a hospital in a few days. Mm-hmm. A hospital that can accommodate thousands of people. I saw this video, you cannot believe this. They put up a structure, mamish, in a few days. You know, it's unbelievable. When you really got to do something, you do it. You do it 1, 2, 3. That's what it says here. And we have no idea what the world looked like, but on their level, on the technology they had available at that time, that's what it says. Vayar Kidein, they were dancing. Kmo Egel Hu, Es Harozim V'Yeseharim Shebahu L'Shmoya Matan Torah. And according to Rashi, these are metaphors for the Umay Sa'olam. They uprooted themselves. They mobilized themselves to come to hear what's happening over here. Levanon v'Siryon, Shemois held in the mountains. And we did this Rashi yesterday. Zion, Choytze v'Hashem quarried. Belahav Aseish, a laser. A flame of fire. What else does this mean? This is a laser. Mamish, this is the head of our times. Rabbi Chol, what does this mean? What's this word over here?
It's another one of these weird words. Teilong. To cut, he says.
That's Choyt says. Rabbi Seinu Perishu, we did this yesterday.
We might say carved out.
To carve out. This is an incredible Yisoidistik Rashi. Answer a lot of questions. We did this yesterday outside. Shehoya hadibur shalas seres hadibrois. Yoytse, it went forth. Bilahavois eish, in flames of fire. Gesundheit. Mipiv. From Hashem's name, and this flame went and traveled and made contact with the stone, and chiseled its way through the stone. The Jewish people witnessed the writing of the Luchos. The Chol Ha'am Royin Es HaKoylos. That's what it says.
How can they see it if he was up
there? Hashem sent forth. Hashem sent forth fire. Watch the movie, The Ten Commandments. That's what it means. Royim Es HaKoylos. They saw the fire, which Rashi here says. This Rashi is an incredible Rashi. It's an incredible. He says everything over here. Shehoya hadibur shalaseres hadibris yoytze. It came forth from Hashem belahavois eish in flames of fire mipiv from Hashem's peh the nechkot. It was etched al haluchos kisav nisam in their image, in the image of the words. Anochi Hashem elokecha. Okay, you know, on the Shin show, I was working on a bar mitzvah shuttle for a little boy. So I never knew this. Is that on the Tilun Shel Rosh? We'll end with this. The Tilun Shel Rosh. What do you have on the Tilun Shel Rosh? You have two shins.
Right.
A shin on the right, shin on the left. The shin on the left has how many branches?
Four
branches. The shin on the right has how many branches here? Why does the shin on the left have four branches? So it says in the Bach. The Bach brings down a medrash. The Bach and Shulchan Aruch brings down a medrash because the shin on the right side, it represents the luchos. Why? Because the luchos was chorus al haluchos. It went through and through. If you want to make a shin, if you want to etch, if you want to create three branches, how do you create three? Create a stone of three branches. You have to chisel four branches. Okay? You have to chisel with a laser through stone four, one on the outside, one on the another one, one, two, three, four. If you go and you cut, make four cuts, you will be left on the inside. Oh, look who's here. Vayirin Hashem al Har Sinai. Oh, Mark. Shalom Aleichem. We're finishing up over here. We'll give you a big greeting in a second. We'll just finish up this idea. The Luchos. Learn about the Luchos, Mark. The Luchos. You're by Har Sinai. You look like you just came from the beach with a nice tan, sunglasses.
Everything's rolling, the sun is shining.
Nice to see you. You look Baruch Hashem great. So here we have the luchos. How do you make a lashin? You have to etch four branches. When you cut with a laser through stone four, what are you left with on the inside? Three branches. The shin on the left side of the tefillin represents the luchos. Leman tiyah. What does it say about tefillin? Leman tiyah toiras Hashem. The shin, why the shin? Because the shame Hashem. Shin is the shame Hashem. The shin represents the Torah Hashem, Beficha. What is the Torah Hashem? The Aseres HaDibros. How did Hashem give the Aseres HaDibros? Chorus al haluchos. The way you create a stone that has three branches is by chiseling four branches. Four branches. That's why the shin has four, because it represents the shin of the, it represents the luchos. Why is it on the left side? So the El Yerabba explains, because the Torah, it says about the Torah in Parashas of Zos HaBracha, Mi Noi, on Hashem's right side, is an Eish Dos. A fire, this is what Mamish, Eish Dos, is a Torah of fire. This pasuk. Hashem sent down fire, and the fire cut through the luchos along the perimeter in order to create an inside of stone, of letters. And we're, and the Torah is defined as being on Hashem's right side. So when Hashem looks at, when we stand, you're wearing your tefillin, we put the shin on our left. Because if we're facing Hashem, it's Hashem's right. When Hashem is looking at us and Hashem sees the shin, it's the Hashem's right. And the right is miminoi, eishtos lamoi, Hashem is seeing the luchos. He's seeing that we will makabel the luchos. We have the luchos on our left side, which is Hashem's right side. And on our right side, we have our Torah. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Aron is the luchos, and then there is a Sefer Torah. Ink. When you write a letter with ink, when you want to let the letter shin, how many branches are there? 3. So the shin on the left is the luchos, and the shin on the right is a Sefer Torah in this world. The Sefer Torah in this world is, you write 3 branches. How do you, why are there 4 branches? This pasuk. Because Hashem, b'chol am royin es hakoyles. When you look at the shin on the left side of the tefillin, you are looking at royin es hakoyles. When you look, you see a person, you're looking at a person's tefillin, you see that dove, that shin with the 4 heads. This is a kiyum. I'm now seeing the coil. What do you mean you're seeing the coil? Because the coil was accompanied by fire. And that fire went forth into the stone and chiseled out on 4 sides, the four different areas, which left over a shin of 3. So when you see the shin of 4, you're being royim, it says a dogma, royim es hakoilos of Matan Torah. And the shin on the right side, that's the Sefer Torah, you have in the Sefer, in the Aron HaKodesh. Why a shin? Because the shin represents the Shem Hashem. The whole Torah is the Shem Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here. Mishnah tomorrow, we go to Pasuk Ches.